morning. Hope everybody's had a great week. I know I'm alive, but I've definitely been in the fight. Feel a little bit bloody. Leaves you exhausted, you know what I'm saying? I'm at work and struggling to breathe and lay down at night and can't breathe. And it's been going on now for about 3 weeks and gets wearisome. We've been looking at individually on these weapons of this warfare that we're involved in, and we're involved in it every day. And the last couple of weeks, I've really felt like God has let me have a good taste of the fight. After the problems in this world, I've had quite a few. I'm not trying to get nobody to, you know, I'm not trying to give no pity party to nobody, but I've had some problems in this world over the last week. I mean, just one thing after another. I've had problems in my flesh, not only physical, but mental and spiritual. I mean, you know, when you get really tired like that, like I said, I've been struggling to, you know, I get up, you don't rest, you get up in the morning, it's like you can't think. You got to go to work, you got to try to keep things straight. So you're going to have these fights. I've always thought it'd be terrible, and I've seen it happen to people. They get about 70 years old and they start losing their mental faculties. Well, you know, that could happen to me, and I would hate that to happen, but here lately it seems like I've had trouble thinking. I mean, really, I'm just like my brain is not getting enough oxygen, and I'm struggling to breathe, and so I've had struggles in my flesh. Also, buddy, I mean, you know, you mark her down. When you get weak, the enemy will use your flesh against you. When you get tired and really beat down. I mean, how many of you have ever been, you seem like you've heard that, you know, the last straw. You know what I'm saying? You're that camel. And they load up that last straw and you fall under the load. How many of you have ever had that experience in their life? I know I have many a time. And it feels like, you know, when you get tired like that, you can expect the devil has got his henchmen. If you're trying to do something for God, you're trying to live for God, he's got his devils out there. They're there. We can't see them. But every now and then, I get a feel for them. You can almost smell the brimstone, you know. It just gets thick. You know that the enemy's coming against you. And I've seen the devil show up. I mean, a lot over the last couple of weeks. Getting in to people. I mean, just pitching fits. Acting just unsensible. I mean, you know, it's just irrational. And you have to fight it. Now, you're going to have battles like that in life. Especially if you work for somebody. You know? And those of you who have had people work for you, you know what it's like to have people that work for you, to get the devil in them and just make things just miserable. Miserable around the workplace. But we've been fighting some of that, and tells me that, hey, it comes and it goes. Sometimes, you know, it seems like everything, boy, you're riding on top. But I'm going to tell you what. When you mark her down. When you go through some troubles and some battles and stuff, where you're having problems in your flesh and you're having problems in your spirit and you're having problems, you know, with this world and you're having problems with people, God can get a hold of you. David said, King David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Mark it down. You get on top of the world, everything's going good. Boy, if you ain't careful, you'll get slack. You'll get lazy. You look over in the Old Testament, it spoke about Israel. It said, what destroyed Israel was a fatted calf. Ease. Bible says, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. So don't let troubles and problems, that shouldn't push us away from God. That should draw us near to God. That's what these things are for. They're to grow us. Me and Brother Dwayne was talking about coming in here that over in France where they just had that big attack by ISIS, they said they were not going to allow it to stop them from having their annual grape festival. Because they said they had a really hot summer, and they said they probably had some of the best grapes that the country's ever produced, and they were still going to have their grape festival. And we was talking about that. Well, hey, you get under the heat, you get under the problems of this life, it's not to hurt us, it's to make us better. It's to make us sweeter. It's, you know, and God wants to work in our life. But, you know, hey, it's like that old saying, you know, a diamond is just a piece of coal that stayed in its place under the pressure. It just put under that pressure, and God squeezed that chunk of coal till it become a diamond. You know, and buddy, and that's what God wants to do with us. He wants to just stay when the troubles and problems of life comes. We just stay in our place and let God work in our lives. So these weapons, and the only way you'll know how to do that, we got to, I'm going to say it one more time, we got to stay in contact with heaven. We got to, you mark it down, there's a lot of people, when problems start to happen, one of the first things they leave off, they quit asking God, they quit talking, they quit praying. Boy, they get a chip on their shoulder. You know, they start trying to figure everything out on themselves. You know, and that's my biggest problem I have. Rather than waiting and trusting God, a lot of times I try to figure it out and do it on my own. Told Brother Jim that just this morning. A lot of times we'll do that. Our lack of trust, we'll start trying to do it on our own, trying to figure the problem out. But what we need to do is wait upon the Lord and spend time in prayer. And then we got to stay in this book. We ought to stay in this Bible. We need to study. And we're going to begin this morning in the book of John. We read these verses last week. Turn to the book of John. Man, I didn't write that. I think it's 10. Oh, my goodness. I forgot to write it down. John chapter 10, I'm pretty sure. Chapter 8. There, I found it. I'm being reading in verses 28. In verses 28, it says, "Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." And after that, in verse 30, it says, "And as he spake these words, many believed on him." The Word of God has power. We spoke about the power of the Word of God. Now, the Word of God has great power. But what I want us to see right here is there are people, and one of the reasons why I know that the Word of God is the Word of God is because we got a lot of people that are not saved, but they know that the Bible is true. They know that the Bible is true. They don't think that it's true. In their hearts, they know that it's true. Hold your place there and turn over to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1. We're talking about how we know that the Word of God is the Word of God. Because the Bible said we need to be ready to give an answer for the faith that's within us. We need to be ready, prepared. And I've had people ask me, well, how do you know the Bible's true? How do you know the Bible's right? I mean, it's got mistakes in it. It's got all kinds of contradictions in it. Well, it does. But you can reconcile those contradictions. There are contradictions in the Bible. But they're still true. The Bible is true. It's right every time. You know, just because the Bible says one place, except you forgive, neither shall you be forgiven. And another place it says we are to forgive as we are for Christ's sake already forgiven. It doesn't mean that both of them isn't true. One was before the cross and one was after the cross. One was under the law and the other was under grace. So we can reconcile this what people see as contradictions. But they're there. And we need to be able to rightly divide the Word of God so we can help people who have problems about the Word of God. And we need to be ready. Look in Romans chapter 1. I'm going to begin reading in verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, notice this, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. See, there's a lot of people that know the truth, but they haven't done anything with it. They have believed in vain. Paul said that in 1 Corinthians. He said, by which you are saved, unless you have believed in vain. There's a lot of people that believe the gospel, but they never act upon it. It never turns their heart toward God. They never cry out to God for salvation. There's no repentance. There's no turning to God. They know it's true. Why? Because the Word of God is powerful. They know that it's the truth. Notice it's to hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. It's revealed. God reveals it in their hearts through the Word of God. So they know that it's the truth. It's manifest to them, for God has showed it to them. How do I know that the Word of God is true? For God has showed it to me. I remember when He showed me that the Word of God was right. I was there. I don't know it's right because a preacher said it was right. I don't know it was right because I read it in a book, except for this book. I know it's true because God said it was true, and He spoke it into my heart, and I knew that it was true. For God has showed it to them, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. I mean, He didn't do this in a corner. He showed it to everybody. It's been revealed. Being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. I had a fellow one time, I'll never forget, I was knocking doors, and this guy says to me, he says, I don't believe that. I'm an atheist. I said, I did it very kindly. I said, sir, I don't mean this disrespectful. I'm not trying to be mean or anything. I said, but I don't believe you. I said, God said that Jesus Christ is a light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And I said, I got a book right here. It says you know, but you don't want to know. I said, I tell you what. Now we used to have them little. I think we might still have some here. Them little books of John, and the whole book of John. I said, I want to tell you, this reveals the deity of Jesus Christ. I said, I'll give this book to you. You read it this week. I come back next week. If you tell me that you do not believe this, I'll give you a $50 bill. And he said, I'm not interested. See, he didn't want to know. He had chosen not to believe. But God had revealed it to him. He knew. And that's one of the reasons why I know that the Bible is the Word of God. Because not only believers know it, so do unbelievers. The fact that they hate the Bible, the fact that this world hates the Bible, is another thing. It's plain and clear to me. They don't hate the Koran. This world don't hate the Koran. Christians might hate it because they know that it's instructing people falsely. But this world doesn't. This world, I mean, you know, hey, they don't see it. Look at all that's going on. Do you find anybody having any problems with the teachings of the Koran? Even though it calls for people being forced to submit? No, they don't. This world likes religion. This world loves religion, but it don't love God. This world loves all kind. They love their religion, but they don't love God, and they don't love the truth. Notice what it says right here. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Notice this, verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. See, they knew the truth and they didn't like it. So they changed it. You take about every denomination that exists today are changing the Word of God. They either change it by literally, physically taking this Bible and rewriting it to fit their beliefs and their doctrines and their teachings. Either that or they do like others do, who take and make the Word of God of none effect through their traditions. You see? There's all kinds of ways to change the Word of God. If I don't rightly divide this Bible, I can teach all kinds of things. What's that old funny joke? I think about every preacher has used it. It says that Cain slew his brother Abel, go thou and do likewise. Or Judas went out and hanged themselves and say, go out therefore and do likewise, you know. But that's what, and as stupid as that sounds, because, you know, these verses of scriptures taken from different chapters, that's what we do a lot of times. We take the Word of God and we wrest it to our own destruction. I didn't say they do it. I said, we do it. We do it. I can do it. I'm afraid of doing it. I'm afraid that I've probably done it many times and maybe still do it. And I have to have God to straighten me out and keep me illuminated. The Bible says, lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct our path. If we ain't careful, we'll take a study of this Bible, and after our own understanding, we'll make decisions. It does good to wait in prayer and let God show me a lot of things this past week that I had never seen. God shows me stuff all the time in my failures most of the time. That's sad. But a lot of times it's in my failures. I think Moses has been been in my mind a whole lot over the past couple of years because I've seen some things about Moses, the meekest man on the earth. There was not a man that was any closer to God than Moses, but he fell in the wilderness with his people. He didn't make it over into Canaan land. And this is like, and me and John was talking this morning, and the ones that got into Canaan land, they didn't get the victory, did they? They weren't able to drive out the inhabitants like they were told to do. They weren't able to be obedient to what God told them to do. And right off the bat, Joshua told them, you know, said, hey, you cannot serve God. And you know what I realized? I can't serve God either. Only the Spirit of God within me can serve God. Only Christ in me can serve God. That's the reason why He has to have me. He has to have my heart. The Lord Jesus Christ has got to be the one that's in charge at all times. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Huh? You can't even do wrong without Him. Because all power belongs to Him. And what do you think? What do you think allows you to walk around? It's power. It's power. It's electrical power that runs through your body and keeps this engine running. You know? And all power belongs to Him. So we can't even do wrong without Him. Now, does He encourage us to do wrong? No. He's a stop sign out there saying, don't go this way. Don't do this. But sometimes, you know what we say? We act like we got a deaf ear, you know. Or throw up blinders and go on and do what we want to. You know? Sometimes we do it ignorantly. You know what I'm saying? We're just not listening to God. We're just going on. You know what I mean? We're just like a drunk stumbling along. He don't know where he's going. He's just staggering around, you know. And sometimes we get like that. I shouldn't say we. Sometimes I get like that. Okay, I don't want to tell you. Sometimes I get like that. I'm not really paying close attention and walking in the Spirit like I need to be. I get so busy. Sometimes you get so busy, you're too busy for God. When you're that busy, you're definitely too busy. It's time to do something. Preacher asked me this morning about something. I feel bad about this. I said, but I can't do it. I can't do what he was bringing up to my attention. I said, I've just got too much going on. So we're probably not going to have Bible club for the month of December. I got work demanding stuff from me. I got my wife got a list of stuff to do on our house. It's just too busy. And if I ain't careful, I'll get too busy, and I'm not listening to God like I ought to be. Just get too busy. We got to do like Jesus. Look at Jesus. Buddy, I mean, I certainly can't say I was as busy as he was. He couldn't go no words without people coming after him, weren't he? Wanting stuff from him. Asking stuff from him. Demanding of him. You know what I'm saying? All the time. Busy. But what did he do every now and then? He snuck away, didn't he? He got off alone. You know? He needed that. And if he needed that, we need that. Because he said, of myself. That's what Jesus said. The creator of everything. The one that has all power. He said, of myself, I can do nothing. That's what he said. He said, the only thing I can do is what the Spirit tells me to do. He was being guided. He was our example. He chose that for himself to be an example to us, to see how much we need the Spirit. And Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and life. This past week, well, it was a week ago, I was talking to my son-in-law. And he was talking about having a great desire for the church to get real. To get real. And I said, I know what you're saying. And I said, and I understand what you're saying. You need to ask yourself, how real are you? You know? How real are you? Has God, I mean, what... is a light lightening up your mind? I asked this question when we first started this. I said, has God spoken to you this past week in studying the Scriptures and in prayer things that you need to cut out of your life or things that you need to put in your life? Because I asked this question, has any of us arrived? Has God, is He finished the work? No, we're still here, so there should be some pruning going on, isn't that what I say? He said, if you bear fruit, what did He say He would do? He would purge us that we might bear more fruit. So there needs to be some purging going on in our life, some cutting out of some things, and there needs to be some adding in of things, too. There needs to be things being added to our life. He said, he that had these things in his life shall never fall. I think it's over in James. So there will be some cutting out some things, some adding into things, and it comes through the Word of God. And it, but here we see these people, hey, they didn't want to listen. They didn't want to believe, so they began to change the Word of God. It says, and right here, for this cause, God gave them up. I tell you what, God can give us up too. He can. You say, well, I'm saved. I don't mean He can't. If you don't want to listen to Him and you're saved, and people can be willful, saved, lost, it don't make any difference. I heard Brother Darrell Cox say one time, he said, I have been convinced by the Spirit of God that a saved man can do anything a lost man can do. But he said, one thing about it, you're going to pay the price. There's consequences. Now, the Bible says He'll take it. Like my mama used to say, I brought you in this world, I can take you out. And God, He brought us into this world, He's got a plan for us. But if we are not letting Him work in our lives as we ought to, He can give us up. He said, okay, be willful. Keep doing what you want to do. Don't listen to me. Don't pay me no attention. You say, I don't believe it. We're going to look at some Scripture in a minute. It might change your mind. But it's important to realize that God gave them up. Why? Because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. And go back to over here in John. He says right here, and he said, after He said those verses to him, you shall know that I am He, and I do nothing of myself, but of my Father. And He that sent me is with me. The Father have not left me alone, for I do always things, those things that please Him. And as He spake these words, that many believed on Him. And then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on Him, continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, we be Abraham's seed. The same crowd that said they believed, guess what you find out? You keep reading, you'll find out. They're ready. Jesus said, you dishonor me. You hate me, and you want to kill me. The same crowd, he's speaking to the ones that believed on him. He said, a little bit later, he said, you hate me, you want to kill me, you want to get rid of me. They believed him, but that didn't mean they wanted him. It didn't mean that they were wanting to change. It didn't mean they wanted to give up what they were already doing, their position. Let me tell you something. The Christian life is about giving up. It's about dying. It's about dying to self and Christ living in you. And they didn't want that. Do you want that? That's what we got to ask ourselves each and every day. Do I really want Jesus Christ to live in me today? Do I really want to give up those things that I want to do and let God speak into me what He wants me to do and then be obedient to Him? He said, if you continue in my word, then you're in my disciples indeed. So we were never in bondage. And he goes on. He said, We're Abraham's seed. We're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? I thought they were down. I thought, didn't Moses have to go down to Egypt after 400 years in bondage under Pharaoh? They were Abraham's seed down there, wasn't they? Huh? 400 years in bondage? We've never been in bondage. How say you we should be made free? Oh, yeah. Didn't they come down there? Didn't the Chaldeans come down there and conquer them? Carry them off into Babylon for, what was it, 70 years? Didn't they have to serve the Philistines and several other groups of people? And they were in bondage to them. They come, they were servants to them. Over and over again, they were in bondage. And yet they said, oh, we be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage. Now, come on. You see? When people are not honest and real, the Word of God gets changed in their mind. They know historically what God had said. They know historically that they were given into bondage. Yet, they sit there, they said, we don't want the truth that says we were in bondage. At the present time, who was running things there in Israel? Rome, wasn't it? They were in bondage to Rome at that present time, but we were never in bondage, they said. You see how the Word of God, even the truth, can be twisted? They knew the truth. Huh? They knew what the truth was, but they didn't like it. They knew that Jesus was telling them the truth, but they didn't want to listen. That's the power of the Word of God. God's Word can illuminate, but also when we fail to... Joe taught this in his class. The thing really spoke to me when he said that. And he said, when you take and you this Word of God and you've been enlightened about it by something, and then you fail to respond with a yes, and God can cloud your mind because of your disobedience. Why do you think there's so many heresies in our churches today? These people started off, they wanted to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Something happened along the way. Something got in the way. It was their will. It was their will. And then they began to change the truth of God into a lie. So Jesus said, you should know the truth. And they go on. They go on from there and they go on down. And they said, they answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, because he told them, he said, you're of your father today. Okay, let me back up here. And the servant, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage. And we're never in bondage. How sayest thou, you should be made free? And Jesus answered him, verily, verily, I say to you, whosoever committed a sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me. Now, he's speaking to those that believe. That's what he said. He said unto them that believed on him. He said, you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. They knew it was the truth, but the Word of God, they did not want the truth of the Word of God. We go up there and God's going to speak to us through the Word of God. But are we going to let it find an abiding place in our hearts? Or are we going to let it make the changes that God wants it to make? Or are we going to let it move in our lives the way that God wants it to? Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophet thou sayest, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead. Who makest thou thyself? And Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him. Does that not sound familiar today? There are a lot of people who said, God's her God. But we see the fruit. We see the fruit. of their prophets. They teach false, they teach heresies, damnable heresies, many of them. Baptismal regeneration. One of these days when we stand before God, our good works be weighed against our bad works. Self-righteousness. Getting to heaven through being good enough. And he says, "You have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I'll be a liar like you. But I know him, keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. And then said the Jews unto him, they are yet 50 years old. Hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then the very ones that believed on him, now they're taking up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by." The importance of rightly dividing the Word of God. We can believe that the Bible is true, as many people say. And they'll say that the Bible is true. But in 2 Timothy, if you would turn to 2 Timothy, we're going to start looking at this thing of division, of right division in the book of 2 Timothy. They had the truth, but they didn't like the truth. They had the truth, they believed it, but they said, I choose not to believe it. I know it's true, but I choose not to believe it. And God gave them up, and they went into darkness. 2 Timothy 2, I'm going to begin reading in verses 14. "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Now here's what I want you to see here. You see them through the Word of God. I want to look at this thing a little bit about the mystery of iniquity. Because here you see them, they know the truth, and then you got this crowd coming in, and they're beginning to subvert the truth. They're doing just like those people over here. They believed, but then they began to change the Word of God. They began to teach things. He told them, he said, look out. In verse 14, he said, "Put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord. They strive not about words to no profit." See, they were saying things about God that weren't true. Look at Job and his friends. They said things that came that were true, but you know what? They weren't true about who they were saying it about. They weren't dividing the Word of God correctly. They were using the Word of God in a false way. And God said, God told them, "You have not spoken my servant Job the things that are right." Now God charged him. He knew what his problem was, but they took the Word of God and tried to correct him, and they were using the Word of God in the wrong way, and God corrected them. Now, Paul's trying to do the same thing right here to these people, and he told them that their word would eat as a canker. See, these heresies will enter into our churches, and the Lord Jesus said, "Hey, the little foxes spoil the vine." Also, he taught a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And then Paul brought it up here, and I think it's in 2 Corinthians, he says the same thing. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. It's just a little things. False teaching. It begins to corrupt. You take a word, you take a scripture out of context, and you start building a doctrine on it. You start building that this is the way it is. This is the truth. I hate saying things out because I don't want people to think I'm disrespectful, because I love these men. I think they were Christians in a way that I wish I could be more like. But I've heard things said by men I thought were fine Christian men that I felt like was not good. I've heard it said over and over again that everything rises and falls on leadership. And then we look for people to lead the way. But everything I see in the Bible, everything rises and falls on followership. Jesus Christ, the greatest example will ever live, we just read where he said, "Of myself, I can do nothing." He was following. You see? He was following. We need people that are supposed to be leaders to teach us how to follow. How to fall in and follow after God. Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." See, that's what he was doing. He would be an example teaching them how to follow. So we need to take the Word of God and find out the truth and live by it. Let it work and change our lean not to our own understanding. If it means giving up some things that we've believed 50 years, if it's the truth, it's the truth. Did not we just read in the scripture right here? He said, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure." Their word eat as a canker. Their word was hurting the church. Their teachings was causing problems. But Paul tells us right here, God's foundation standeth sure. So if we've drifted away, we just need to crawl back up onto the foundation. And as we're going to look at next week over in the book of the Revelation, God has told us to remember and go back and do the first works. I forget who it was. Somebody told me this week. It kind of got me thinking about it. And he was talking about, they'd heard it preached about how when you lose sight of God, you need to go back to where you left him. But what we find over here, Paul said, go back to where you began. Not Paul, but John said, go back to where you began. Remember where you began. You get back there, and then God can get everything worked out. Let God teach us the Word of God in such a way that we are declaring the Word of God correctly. Now, I ain't saying I know how to do that. I want God to teach me. But I can. There's one thing I think I can do fairly well. That's provoke people to think. And I hope I can provoke you to think and to study. And buddy, and let the Word of God, buddy, rock your world, you know? I mean, set us on fire. That's what we need. We need some people. Like old John Wesley used to say, "Why do all these people come to hear you?" He said, "I just let God set me on fire, and they come to watch me burn." And that's what we need. We need some men on fire today. And I believe the Word of God is the power to do that. Brother Jim, will you pray for us?